From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Today, about 24 victims of the Boston Marathon bombings spoke directly to the bomber, Jahar Tzannaev. They told of devastation, of resilience, of their disdain for him, and in at least one case, of forgiving him. Last month, a jury recommended the death penalty for Tzannaev. Today, the judge will formally sentence him, but it's also a chance for victims to make these kinds of statements about his impact. As David Boeri from Here and Now contributing station WBUR explains.
In federal court and virtually all states, crime victims have the right to be reasonably heard before sentencing. The first intent of so-called victim impact statements is to inform the judge of the true extent of harm that has been done by the defendant.
No one in the courtroom except the victim knows the exact impact of that crime. No one faced the defendant in the moment other than the victim.
Meg Garvin directs the National Crime Victim Law Institute in Portland, Oregon. She says the right to be heard reflects the recognition, evolving from the victims' rights movement of the 1980s, that victims or their survivors, no less than defendants, are entitled to participate in sentencing. And the best way to do that is to let them speak.
We have to hear from the victim. We just have to.
But whatever the victims say can have no impact on the sentence in this case, because a jury has already decided Jahar Tzannaev should be executed. So what we're left with, DePaul University law professor Susan Bandy says, are the other rationales given for allowing impact statements, though they are not formally recognized by the courts.
It seems that they're being very specifically billed as an opportunity for the victims' families and the victims to try for this sort of cathartic or healing effect and to face the defendant, look him in the eye and tell him how they feel.
Victim impact statements are widely viewed as therapeutic. Participating in the system of justice, telling the story of your victimization, and having people listen, advocates say, can teach you how to move forward with your life. Liz Norden, the mother of two grown sons who each lost a leg in the marathon bombings, is a case in point.
Nobody understands or could even pretend to understand the hell that we've gone through from that day. I want to let people know.
Though Norden chose to speak, her two sons did not. They've moved on, she says, but she's the one who's fixated on what happened to them. Roseanne Sedoya, who lost a leg in the bombing, has no interest in making an impact statement. She says she doesn't see any therapy coming from the courtroom.
No, I think I've gotten everything that I could possibly get out of this. I think, you know, in all honesty, the only thing that could bring complete closure would be getting a new leg.
While the impact statements will have no effect on the sentence, survivors who took the stand during the penalty phase of his trial to testify about the impact of Tsarnaev's crimes played a critical role in helping the prosecution win the death penalty. But federal and state courts prohibit victims from recommending a sentence in their impact statements. The irony is that key victim witnesses in this trial publicly called on the U.S. attorney and the attorney general to reach a plea deal that would put Tsarnaev in prison for life without the chance of parole or appeal. That was the only way, the victims argued, they could be spared further impacts from the case that won't go away. For Here and Now, I'm David Boeri.